And you've got the whole Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is the 15th.
You know, I'm not sure that
you
this.
Bring that in. Okay, because I'm not sure this is going to run.
If it
was, I didn't know when you were going to do this.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's avoid that. We usually do a big story, bunch of stories on that, and but
good.
Let's.
So you're
covered
there.
Yeah, we're covered.
Okay.
All right. I'm also going to start the timer so I know how we're doing here. Okay, so I'm going to do an intro to each of our sections,
right.
And so here we go.
Okay.
Hi, this is Tracy Griggs, Director of Communications for NC Family, sitting in this week for John Rustin. I'm delighted to welcome our guest today, who I've followed and admired for many years as a lifelong leader in the Pregnancy Center movement. Melinda Delahoyd served for many years as president of CareNet, one of the nation's largest and oldest networks of pregnancy centers. She is currently vice president for a global organization called Mission Advancement for Life International, and not one to lose touch with the importance of local pregnancy centers as the hub of the pro-life movement. Melinda recently agreed to serve as president of Gateway Pregnancy Center in Raleigh, which is located within a few miles of 5 college campuses. We're going to make a 2-week discussion out of this since Melinda has a valuable perspective on 2 things that we in particular want to talk about. First, she has been on the front row witnessing and influencing some important trends in pregnancy care centers over the past decade. And second, she has some insight on some frightening things that are just beginning to happen across the country in regard to abortion pills. There is a push to make these easily accessible to younger and younger girls and to minimize doctor involvement in the process. Melinda, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here with everybody.
Melinda, you have a lifetime of hands-on experience with pregnancy care centers. Tell us a little bit about what, practically speaking, pregnancy centers do and how they serve their communities and why they are an important piece to the pro-life puzzle.
You know, Tracy, I think it's really helpful and really amazing when we look back over 40 years plus since the Roe v. Wade decision came down in 1973 and legalized abortion. I think it's great to be able to look back and really see how God has mobilized his people to bring compassion, healing, and help in this issue of abortion, both for the unborn baby and for the woman facing that unplanned pregnancy. And as I tell this story around the country, it is always such an encouragement to believers, to those who embrace the Judeo-Christian view of the sanctity of every human life, to realize that in 1973, when the Supreme Court, in 2 decisions in 1 day, brought legalized abortion to America, there were no pregnancy centers. There was really almost no response. This was a not a totally unexpected, but certainly an absolutely shocking decision from the Supreme Court. So at that time, I had graduated from seminary and was serving on one of the national boards of evangelicals who were involved in social action. And this was the issue around which all our hearts and our minds had gravitated. What do we do now? And we had thought, well, it's the lobbying, it's the education, and particularly the education of evangelicals, because our Catholic brothers and sisters had been carrying this load for years and really needed evangelicals to step in and do their part to protect lives, to help women, whatever it might be. So we were sitting on this board, and literally we would get hundreds of letters from people all over the country, from big towns, small towns, cities, suburbs, whatever it might be. They were all believers, and they were Christians, and this was the question that all of them asked. It started with, we know that abortion is wrong, and we know what Roe v. Wade has brought to our country, but what do we do to help women in our communities to choose life for their babies and for themselves? How do we show compassion? How do we care for them? And it was really out of those letters coming to our board in Washington, D.C., and to others, to Francis Schaeffer, to Dr. C. Everett Koop, to others who realized what was happening, this same question was being asked. And it was out of that that God literally raised up in hundreds and thousands of communities around the country his people from churches all over those communities and others who wanted to be involved, who said, we will come together and we will build a place, we'll have a place for that woman to come. And we will provide help and we'll provide hope for her. And we will, yes, we want that baby to live and we want that woman to understand that she does not have to have an abortion. And that was really the beginning of the CareNet Pregnancy Network, which now has around 1,200 pregnancy centers, and so many other independent centers. It was not some kind of centralized business plan out of Washington, D.C. It was literally God speaking to the hearts of his people and saying, I want you to help. This is what Christians do. This is what Christians have done through the ages. And here was a new sort of vineyard in which to work, and it was the Life Vineyard. And out of that has come pregnancy centers like Gateway Campus here in Raleigh, other centers emerging in our own city. In North Carolina, there are approximately 68 pregnancy centers alone. And so it's Texas, North Carolina, Florida, many states have vast networks of pregnancy centers. But it started, and it's kept going because of God speaking to his people and his people responding.
So is it important, then, the model of the way that these centers have operated quietly in communities, almost under the radar in some instances? Is that an important component to the whole pro-life movement, do you think?
I think that that's been an effective component, although we would have to say that pregnancy centers are now the number one target of the abortion movement. And I think it's precisely because they have been so effective at the grassroots level, and they've been very versatile, in that they have responded to the unique needs of their community. They're all independent 501c3s with their own boards, and they are tuned in to what the needs of their community are. So I think that that model has changed through the decades, because when pregnancy centers started, you couldn't get a free pregnancy test anywhere. Well, that's certainly changed. And now, you know, with the vast preponderance of digital technology and what's available to us, almost all pregnancy centers now are going online with a strong presence to reach that abortion-minded woman. So, and that's very important, because we know that when she first finds out or thinks she might be pregnant, she will go to her phone, she'll go to her iPad, and she'll Google words like abortion provider, am I pregnant, all these different phrases and words, and literally we want to find her first. We do not want her to go to organizations like Planned Parenthood first. So technology has become a huge tool within the pregnancy center movement. So I would say that it's been very helpful for pregnancy centers not to be centralized, but to be decentralized under an affiliation umbrella, but able to work within their communities to meet the unique needs of those communities.
Okay, so you've alluded to a couple of things. One is the fact that many of these local pregnancy centers are moving a little bit more toward a medical services model. How often are you seeing that, and is that an important movement?
Oh, I think probably at least half of the pregnancy centers I know of are medical. They provide limited medical services, and ultrasounds are extremely important. We know that if a woman and her partner, alone or together, see that ultrasound image of their baby, there's a 60 to 70% chance that they will choose life. So ultrasound is also an amazing tool that pregnancy centers have been able to utilize. So in the Gateway Center in Raleigh, you'll see sonographers, you'll see nurses, we have a medical director, you will see medical staff every day, and for most, if not all, the hours that that center is open, because that's become a very important tool for women facing an unplanned pregnancy. And the STD, STI testing, which we also do at Gateway and many centers do, that's on the preventative end of things, but it's such an epidemic among women who are at the highest risk of having abortion that it only makes sense if you're doing that testing and able to talk with them and build that relationship, offer them a pregnancy test at the same time. And let them use these medical tools that we have to give her information and resources that she needs.
Melinda, I understand you have a child who has special needs. So how does this provide a unique perspective for you, and has it added to your passion for the pro-life ministries?
Oh, my goodness. Will Delahoyd is now almost 34 years old, and he was born with Down syndrome. And interestingly enough, he was born when I was in the middle of writing a book about the non-treatment of handicapped newborns, many of whom who had Down syndrome. So it was as if God gave us this amazing gift and blessing of this little boy when I had been out speaking around the country and on that very topic and had been meeting families who had children with Down syndrome, who had children with special needs. And then here we were with our own child with special needs, who's now a young man, holds down a wonderful job at a very well-known supermarket in Raleigh, has many friends, and gets up every day and says, "Mom, my mission at my job is to make people happy." And on so many fronts, Will understands what's truly important in life. God and people and all the values that we work so hard to inculcate into our children's lives, Will just seems to naturally understand them. And he has actually spoken at CareNet's large 1,500-person conference on his own, a speech he wrote. He's done a YouTube video promoting the October Baby movie several years ago, and he has spoken at pregnancy center banquets. So he is, by any definition, just an amazing young man. And we have three other wonderful children. I mean, we're part of the gang. But it has enriched our lives so much, because people with special needs so many times do not have the boundaries and the barriers to expressing joy, expressing love, to helping each other. And we've been able to see through Will and his friends just those amazing examples of that. So much so that our other three children did not want to miss one of Will's parties, did not want to miss a Special Olympics event, because it was so wonderful to see people living that way and loving each other and caring for each other. So, yes.
Yeah. Yes. What a beautiful and personal side, I think, of the pro-life movement, you know, which a lot of times I don't think we lose sight of. And I kind of hate to move back into the business aspects of our pro-life movement, but let's do that, because I know that you have also seen a development in the world of pregnancy care centers that our listeners may not even know about. And that is a shift away from locally run ministries with local boards. And quite a few cities across the country, a national group is establishing a presence by assuming operations of local pregnancy centers. The board voluntarily resigns to allow this transition. It's not a hostile takeover in any sense. But this national organization pours a lot of money into social media, marketing, web presence, still utilizing their local staff. They put a lot of weight into analytics and A/B testing on everything they do. We know we have a center here in Raleigh that is partnering with this national organization. It's not Gateway. What is your opinion of this development?
Well, let me say that I know those who started this organization, Their hearts are wonderful on this issue. There is more than enough work to be done in this area. And I think that we welcome them. I think it's a different model in the sense that someone in our city recently said to me, you know, Melinda, what Gateway does is the ground game. And I think that is so true. We're very savvy. Many pregnancy centers are very savvy about internet advertising, geofencing, all the different ways that we reach and engage that abortion-minded woman. But I think that there's two different models here. And in our model, we are locally based. As you said, there are strong relationships. There's a lot of engagement and partnerships within the city with organizations. And we are absolutely faith-based. And I think that, that is woven into our coaching, to what happens, the opportunity to have spiritual conversations. All of our volunteers, staff are trained, not in an aggressive or disrespectful way, but in a way that allows her to just think for herself, you know, about some of the deeper questions in her life, realizing that she may be one of the many, many women coming to pregnancy centers who will never walk through the doors of a church. And this may be one of our few times to engage her. And we have found God do amazing things through the 40 years in which this model has been working. But, you know, Tracy, it's all good. It is all good. Whatever people are doing to embrace life, to help women, that's a wonderful thing. There are very few of these types, other types of centers around the country now, but I it's welcome. I mean, welcome, because new things are needed, new things are happening, and there is certainly enough on our plate and everyone's plate to bring back the sanctity of life in America.
Great. Thank you. So we are nearly out of time for this week. We're going to be talking to you about some other things next week. But what would you recommend to people who might want to investigate getting involved with their local pregnancy center?
Well, you can go to www.gatewaycampus.org. And that's the pregnancy center that literally is serving those 51,000 college students within a 3-mile radius. And that is a demographic of women who are the most at risk of having abortion. And it's an opportunity to engage online with them, to serve them at the Gateway Center, and to partner with them on campus through different organizations. You
Melinda,
might want to volunteer. Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you because this goes to radio stations all across the state.
Okay.
And so I think we need to be more statewide. I don't know if I don't even have to ask you that question. I think people
don't. Yeah. I think it's because otherwise it'd be CareNet, which is
okay.
Fine too.
Okay. Let's just when we've talked about CareNet. So let's just skip
Leave that.
Okay. So we're nearly out of time for this week. We didn't mention that Melinda is an accomplished author, editor, and speaker. Although I think that became clear as she spoke today. Let me try that again. I don't like that either. Because we did talk about that. We are nearly out of time this week. All right. One more time. Melinda, we're nearly out of time this week. So tell our listeners where they can get more information if they want to read your books, if they want to learn more about your wonderful son. Where can our listeners go to find out more?
Well, Google, if you Google my name, there's a lot there. I don't look at it very often, but there's a lot there. There's the YouTube video there. There's books and speeches and things that have been given. It's all available. And, you know, I would just encourage everyone, there is a way that you can be involved. It might be volunteering at a pregnancy center. It might be mentoring and helping women who have made a decision to carry their baby but really don't know what to do. It may be an abortion healing when you realize how many millions of abortions and how many of our families and our friends have been affected by it. There are so many ways to be involved. So if you go to the CareNet website, if you Google CareNet, if you Google Gateway in Raleigh, or your local pregnancy center, and find out, give them a call, check out in your church what might be happening, the way that the church, your church has engaged with the pregnancy center movement, and think about how God might want you to be involved, because it may be praying. It may be praying for women who are literally walking through the doors of a pregnancy center that day, and being able to pray about them anonymously and pray for what's happening in their lives. That's an amazing opportunity when you think about it, that we as hundreds and thousands and millions of believers could actually be praying for women as they're making that most important, momentous decision.
Melinda Delahoy, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your important work to save the unborn and love and support mothers. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so Melinda.